Well, a very pleasant good afternoon, everyone. Here we are, the start of the Feast of Tabernacles. Before we turn around, it'll be the last great day. So let's take full advantage of what God has blessed us with by His divine presence here today. Remember, you have been summoned here by a divine summons. And I think any of you know that a civil summons is something you don't put lightly. You're required to appear in a court of law, and if you, of course, are not there and you've been summoned, it's in contempt of court. And you and I are here today by the gracious hand of God to have fellowship first with Him and Jesus Christ and with one another. And it is a joy to be here with all of us on this wonderful beginning, and it's a full house, all right. So let's begin, and let's start by doing some interesting, thought-provoking analyzing of something that was already alluded to in a portion of the sermonette about the way of God. That's the title of the sermon today, The Way of God. Now, we're going to explore that a little bit, but we're going to ask a question, because this is something, whether you are a young person or whether you are an older person, everyone needs to find the answer to the following question. And that is this: why is God's way better than my way? Why is God's way better than my way? Because each and every one of us in this room have a special way of conducting ourselves. And God has a special way of conducting Himself, as does Jesus the Christ. What we want to find is the answer to that question, because it's vital to our physical and our spiritual well-being as individuals privileged by the grace of God to walk upon the earth that He has created in this beautiful, majestic setting out there. And when you look and see the night sky and the stars in the heavens and the moon shining, you begin to understand why in Psalm 8 David said, "When I consider all the beauty of all of this, what is man that you are mindful of him?" How in the world can puny little human beings walking on this earth amount to anything when you compare the grandeur of the celestial expanse of the hands of Almighty God? Well, you and I are here today for a very important purpose, and we need help, each and every one of us. We need help from our God, our Creator, and our Maker, because you and I don't have the answers to the problems and the difficulties that we face as human beings on this earth. Anyone who thinks they do has a lot of learning to do in the process of living this life. But something very wonderful has been bestowed upon us, and as I say, this is for you, young people, because you've got a lot of years ahead of you. Those of us who have lived some of life and years have gone by, we have a lot to stop and consider as we draw to the conclusion of our physical lives and ready to embark on the great spiritual journey in the kingdom of God. We're going to take a look at a few things, because our Heavenly Father has given us, as well as the Lord Christ, He's provided a wonderful help for us to find the answer to that question that I posed to you in the beginning. Let's take a look at it, and let's go to the book of Proverbs, if you will. Join me in Proverbs chapter 14. In Proverbs chapter 14, we get an inkling from the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, as to how God sees our condition as human beings. And in Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 12, please notice the following: "There is a way which seems right." Doesn't seem wrong to any of us. It seems absolutely right. It says, "But the ends thereof," the final conclusion of our way as opposed to God's way, notice, "the ends thereof are the ways of death." A very sobering and frightening conclusion. To add added emphasis, God again in chapter 16 addresses the same element in verse 25, in which He says, "There is a way." And I'll be emphasizing that throughout this message, the importance of God's way when you consider it in light of our way as human beings. "There is a way that seems right to the man," to the woman as well, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. What it is telling us, in essence, is that as we try to attack the problems and difficulties of life, as you grow up as a young person, a young adult, teenage years, all these different things that we experience as human beings, you encounter many things, and how are you going to react to these things? What's the right and proper way to act when facing certain problems and difficulties? Some of that was alluded in the sermonette. Because again, there is a way that God expects us to conduct ourselves. We are His ambassadors. We are His representatives, young and old alike. And whether or not we recognize it, we have an obligation to keep this very special day holy. It is a high convocation. We cannot afford to be sloppy with this because God is watching us. Everything we say, everything we do, remember, God sees it all, the good and the bad. Hopefully, we're not falling short on the bad side. Hopefully, we're scoring many good scores on the good and positive side. But what we notice in Scripture is that from God's point of view, He tells us that this way that seems so right to us can provide death in many serious ways. For example, it can bring the death of relationships, of individual peoples who maybe once knew each other, were very close to each other, but the human experience sometimes causes a death in a relationship. How about marriages that start off so very, very good, but the marriages end up in death because the husband or the wife are not willing to give as the Scripture addresses. They want to get from the other person. And for a short time, they may seem happy because they're getting from one another what they want. But when one does not give what the other one wants to get, it's, I'm sorry now, it's my way or the highway. And a lot of people have taken the option to go on the highway. It's a very sad situation in light of the Word of God because what it is telling us, again, the human experience apart from God, no matter what you think you can do and provide for yourself as a human being, will end in death. And the Scripture confirms that in Romans 3, verse 23, when it says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us here are guilty of sinful behavior. And because of that, it has brought problems and difficulties into our lives in ways that we never dreamed. Also, the Scripture reminds us of a few other basic things in Romans 6:23, that the wages that we have earned throughout life and are earning, as many of the young individuals in this room are starting out, remember, God's eyes are upon you just as He is. His eyes are upon your parents, your aunts, your uncles, your friends. And so what God tells us is that Romans 6:23, that the wages we earn apart from God is death. Just like it said in Proverbs. We cannot accomplish what needs to be done to eradicate this problem without looking to God. He gives us a few basic pointers in the Old Testament I'll touch on, and then we'll go into the main thrust of what I want to emphasize today. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 29, Deuteronomy 32, verse 29, God even mentions this very important point. He says, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would do what? That they would fear me. They would do what I ask them to do, and that it might be well with them." You see, we think we know what will make things well, but it doesn't always work out that way. And all of our lives are stamped with certain applications to teach us those lessons. We all struggle with what Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, something that you and I all have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, and this is why we're called as overcomers. And that is, we must do what? We have to fight a heart that is deceitful, that tricks us, that lies to us and tells us everything is all right when things are not all right. It takes real courage and it takes real belief and understanding of the Word of God in order to be, as Jesus said, the overcomers that you and I are called to be. When God first called the Israelites out in the Old Testament, brought them out of the land of Egypt, he didn't give them a whole lot of do's and don'ts and things to do. He said in Jeremiah 7, verses 22 and 23, he said, I wasn't interested in all kinds of sacrifices and offerings, but that you would obey my voice. And I can't emphasize that enough in light of scriptural admonition, because when it says, obey my voice, it means you and I are supposed to respond to the vocal commands of Almighty God. You know, men who have been in the military realize when they hear the vocal commands of their commanding officers, there are certain things they've got to do. Well, God is our commanding officer. As men and women, we are to respond to his vocal commands. Israel did not have that heart, and we had not had that heart as well until a process of conversion came into play. So what I'd like to do in the time remaining, I'd like to take you back through the way of God and show you how God expects us to understand this precious calling, this way of life that he has revealed to us. You have in your lap, or in your laptop, if I may use modern technology, you have the Word of God. That Word of God, in reality, is a pearl of great price. It's not just a book with a lot of different verses in it so that you can peruse at your convenience for your own pleasure. It's designed to, when you read it, it reads you loud and clear and tells you exactly who you are, what you are, why you're here, and where you're going. And why we have been given a divine mission and command to learn the way of God to the very best of our ability in this life, because you and I are going to have to fulfill what this Festival of Tabernacles is all about, a time of teaching others the way of God. When you study the prophecies of the Scripture, you find out God many times uses the prophet to say, concerning the nations, he says, those nations that know not the Lord. Well, why don't they know the Lord? Because they don't understand his ways. You and I have been given the marvelous understanding that with the knowledge that God imparts to us through the power of his Holy Spirit, that you and I can have the mind of God to a certain degree. We're told, have the mind of Christ, to learn that mind, and how to understand how it applies to each and every day's circumstances. How to apply the Word of God to you if you're a teenager. How to apply it to you if you're a young adult. How to apply as you get up in years. How to apply when you find yourself under some very, very serious trials and problems in life. The Bible has the answer to everything. But you know, it's just like riding a car. You know, every car, when you buy a new car, has what is called an instruction manual in it, doesn't it? But how many of us really open it up and read the instruction manual? I know how to drive. You know how to drive. No manual needs to tell me how to drive. That's called leaning to your own understanding. That's our way. But God says we have to come and learn his way. And what we understand by studying the Scriptures, we realize that we live in a world today, more so than any other time in human history, we live in a world filled with tantalizing temptations. I say tantalizing temptations. Why? Because for something to really tempt you, it has to be beautiful. It has to have something that stirs the heart, the mind, the spirit, and you want to reach out and touch that, whatever that beautiful thing is. Who would go across the way and be tempted by something ugly? You don't want something ugly. You want something beautiful because it seems right to you. I'm sure Adam and Eve wish they had thought that a little bit clearer when they were tempted to that tree, because it wasn't an ugly tree. It looks beautiful. The tree, hey, one to make you wise. It looks good for food. Hey, use all your physical senses. And what can you understand? You can understand, man, I can be like God. Didn't work out that way, did it, folks? hasn't worked out for any of us either. We all fell prey to temptation. Because Revelation 12 and verse 9 reminds us that there is a god of this world called Satan the devil who deceives the whole world. Can you as a young person, can you as an older person, can you admit that you have been deceived by this cunning serpent? We have to acknowledge that if we're going to be true to the word of God. How many times has Satan crossed paths close to you? How many times has he come by to visit you and to see, have you lowered your guard? Are you mindful of him as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? Well, wrong ways are made in this world to appear right. And because there is a way that seems right to a human being, we fall prey to it. And the adversary knows every one of our weaknesses. You know your own weaknesses. You don't have to have somebody spell it out for you. You know where you're not doing what you should be doing. And if you study the Word of God and let it be the light to light up your life, it will guide you and help you to see yourself and to bring yourself in harmony with God's way. He gave us this marvelous life for a reason. It was a wonderful gift given by him to each and every one of us. How are we demonstrating to our great Creator? How are we using this gift that he has given to us? We are told in the Psalms to number our days. We never know from one day to another what will transpire. Only God in his great wisdom does. But we certainly want God to grant us as much as possible his blessing. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we have something very important mentioned to us here that we should never forget. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and beginning in verse 15. It's recorded here that Moses is telling the Israelites, and certainly applies to us, what is spoken back there. Remember Romans 15 and verse 4. Write that scripture down because it tells you that everything that is recorded in the Word of God was written for our learning so that you and I might have comfort from the Scriptures and have hope because God is a God of hope. He gives us a hope, an ever-living, everlasting hope for those who trust and believe in Him. In verse 15, God says, see, what am I supposed to see? He says, I have set before you. So God has set before us as human beings, made in his image, this day, life and good, because as you've seen some of the bumper stickers, yes, life is good. I don't think anybody would want the alternative, death. Life is good, if it is especially lived God's way. And he says, also out there in that world in which you find yourselves living, you will find death and evil. And you read about it in the newspapers, you see it on television, it's everywhere. The sadness, the death, the terrible things that are happening, not only in our own beloved country, the United States, but all the nations of the world are suffering. People are dying. People go to work, as we heard last night, going to work to do what they like to do, their job. Who in this world would have ever thought airplanes would come out of the sky, as was mentioned, and bring those twin towers down? But when they came down, your life and my life changed forever. We could never board an airplane like we did before. And it's just as one man wrote a book, and it's out now. I think he's published it, and he says, I never thought I would live to see the day. And it's here, brethren. It's here, fellow guests and visitors. Your life is being affected too, even if you're not a member of the Church, United Church of God. You can't get away from this. This is impacting every human being on the face of the earth. And God says, and he goes on to say, in that I command you this day. What am I supposed to, how do I respond to this voice command? Listen, he says, to love. to love the Lord your God and to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, that you may live. Yeah, that's what we want to do. We want to live. And the only way we can live and really enjoy life is when we do it God's way, and to multiply. And the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. But, oh yes, there is a but, a little caveat here we need to think about. But if your heart that can play tricks on you, that heart that is deceitful above all things, unless it is brought under the control of God's Spirit, where the Apostle Paul made it very clear that you have to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, because that way you will fulfill God's will and not the will of the God of this world. But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, you block your ears to the things of God. And what do you say? And notice what he is concerned about. That you be drawn away and worship other gods. Well, Pastor, I don't worship other gods. Oh, it's so easy to worship other gods today, folks. People are transfixed. You know, you can go to Netflix for $8 now and you can sit and watch movies to your heart's content, but that won't get you to the kingdom of God. There are things to design to take your time and waste your time, and we only have so much time to make the most of this precious journey of life. It seems like yesterday, as a teenager, I was called by God. And here I stand, how many years later have passed by? Ever so fast. How did I get here? How did you get here? One day at a time, and suddenly you're there. And so here we have God's admonition. You better be careful not to fall into idolatry and Sabbath breaking. Those were in Ezekiel 20, the great Sabbath breaking of ancient Israel. And their worshiping of false gods, it led them away from the true God. And he said that they would suffer for it, and they did. And notice verse 18, he's saying loud and clear, I denounce unto you this day, you shall surely perish. Leave God out of your life, and you have no life. Because the life you have is sustained by the hand of Almighty God. That's where we stand as human beings. He says, and you shall not prolong your days upon the land which you pass over, Jordan, to possess it. So therefore, verse 19, he says, I call, and this is the record sealed in heaven above, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you something that you're going to have to choose every day of your physical life. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, can I help you to choose, he says? Choose life. Please hear my voice. Choose life that both you and your seed may perish. No, live. You'll begin to understand what Jesus meant when he says, I have come to bring them life. And not only just physical life, but life more abundantly. And that's what we're celebrating here. This is part of the abundant blessing of God that adds so much to our physical joy of living life. The anticipation of seeing friends and being with others we haven't seen maybe in months or years. And then to share that time with meals and fellowship. And to hear messages that drive home the point of our spiritual commitment to God. Because the feast is nothing without the Bible and the Word of God. If it's just eating and drinking, verily you have your reward. But if you come to hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God, you're going to hear plenty of it. That's what this is all designed to be. To serve you meals day after day of things that you and I need spiritually to be reminded of. Because why? We forget, dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we forget. And if anyone has the secret how not to forget and let things slip through the cracks, please come see me. I would appreciate to know that formula. I have to carry a little notepad with me all the time. Your song leader, Rick Beam, and I are no takers now. We have to keep everything. One time we used to remember it all, but something got short-circuited along the way, and now we need a little extra help from time to time. But the beauty of it is that God has provided some wonderful things for us. He's given us the laws that deal with morality, how to keep ourselves clean from this unclean world. There's more to the subject of clean and unclean than most of us have ever stopped to think about. We're to have clean thoughts and not dirty thoughts, and the world is filled with dirty thoughts. Humor today is not humor like it was back in the golden age of radio in the 40s and the 50s when you had men like Jack Benny and others who could bring the house down laughing by just making a gesture like this. And those of you who remember the days of Jack Benny, you remember that. Or Red Skelton? Red Skelton? Oh, yes. Herman and Heathcliff? Some of the funniest jokes, clean and wholesome, didn't have to be dirty, didn't have to have innuendos behind it. That was a golden age, all right, but that golden age is past. We've got a different age today we live in. No, we not only have the laws of God that I've read to you there, but He's showing us how to live and how to enjoy this gift that God has given. And there's a time and a place for everything. And this is the time for us to rejoice before the God of creation, to give thanks to Jesus Christ, to be thankful for being a young person, that you can get up and run up and down those beaches and have fun with your friends, wonderful friends. Because what is life without friendship? For the rest of us, we can't run like you do, but our hearts are with you. We can walk those beaches today, and it's a wonderful blessing to be able to walk. And those who don't have the gift of walking anymore will validate what a gift you have. There's so many things to be thankful for. Our role model in this life was none other than Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God. He was here to show us many interesting things. Let's move quickly through these. Let's look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. And notice, again, we're discussing the way of God. We already know what our way is all about. We have a little bit of happiness, but all too often too much sadness in life. Why? Because our way leads to death. But God offers us a different way. If we will just be His sheep and do as He says, "My sheep, hear My voice." And here's what He says. In verse 6, He says, "I am the way." Notice that. Our focus must be on the Son of God, the vehicle by how God the Father used Him to create all that is in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible. And He says, "I am the way and truth," the truth. If we want to know where the truth can be found, you look to Jesus Christ. You study the gospel accounts, what He said. Because what He said is where it's at. When you have all your trust in human beings, they may serve you well for a while, but sooner or later you will be very disappointed. Because Jesus Christ is not one who disappoints. He is one who provides the truth, and He is the life. He is the source of our life. And no man comes to the Father but by Me. You don't even have standing. Neither do I have standing. When we kneel down to pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven," God would not even listen to us if it wasn't for our wonderful High Priest and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can come to the Father who is beautiful and in holiness. And He will do what? He will hear our prayers because we have a righteous High Priest who represents you, me, and everyone else who believes in Him. You ever wonder why you hear so many prayers, and they don't seem to do anything? People pray all the time, but they pray amiss because they don't understand the way of God. God, even in His great love and mercy, answers prayers that people don't know. Your prayers have been answered, mine, when we didn't know the way of God. And how do we know that? Because God is a merciful God, and He does what only He can do. He makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. You and I don't even know how to come out of the rain, so to speak. Not when it comes to the vital issues of life. We're just babes in Christ, still learning. That's why this is a learning experience, this Feast of Tabernacles. Don't let it slip from you. Don't let it just become eating and drinking. Make sure you just drink in from the Word of God. That will be what sustains you throughout the coming year. You'll forget about where you ate dinner and who you went with and so, but you will not forget the things of God. Not if you're hungering and thirsting for His righteousness. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. You and I are admonished to enter you at the straight gate, because there's a wide gate out there, and notice what he says. He says, and the broad way, again, it's a different way, a broad way, and what does it do? It leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leads unto life, referring to spiritual life, and few there be that find it. Not everyone is willing to pay the price to follow the way of God. You and I every day are being challenged regarding the way of God. Is today going to be God's way or your way or my way? These are things we have to stop and consider very carefully. He says, the narrow way leads to life, and few there be that find it, because it has to be revealed to you. You didn't know it years ago. I didn't know it years ago. But a strange set of circumstances comes to pass in all of our lives, whether you're young, whether you're older, doesn't matter. God's working out His plan of salvation. It's not yours or mine. But every one of us are unique pieces in this great plan of salvation. And we all fit in it together by God's decree. He doesn't want to leave anybody out. That's how great His love is for each and every one of us. And that's something we should never forget. But we understand that it must be revealed via a calling from God. John 6:44 reminds us, no man comes unto me, Jesus said, except the Spirit of the Father draw him. And God then would raise accordingly. In Matthew 22, in verse 14, is where we just read, many are called and few are chosen. Now, when we reference the way of God, here's something we all have to consider. How well do we dress and keep the way of God? You see, back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were told to dress and keep the garden. Manicure it. Take care of it. You and I are given another responsibility, not just the world in which we live to dress and keep, but these temples, which are the temple of the Spirit of God, our bodies. You and I are told to dress and keep. Take care of it. Watch what you eat. Make sure you get your sleep. All of us have suffered heavily in this world because this world does something to you. It constantly beats on you and tries to wear you out. The Scriptures even say that in the end time that there's going to be a wearing out of the saints. Have some of you felt kind of worn out at times? I think we all can relate to that. But one thing for sure, we have to go back and recognize that in order to keep the way of God, we have to dress and keep it. What's one of the first priorities of dressing and keeping? Our prayer life. You have to stay on your knees and humble before the hand of God. Or at least keep your mind in a tuneful manner of prayer, talking to God in private in your thoughts, always thinking about how would God do these things. It's so important because if you don't, there's an old saying, communication is vital. You remember what happened in the so-called Bay of Pigs incident and the Cuban Missile Crisis under John Kennedy when he was president? There was a fiasco because there was a breakdown in communications, and everything turned out bad. If you were the devil, what would be the one thing you would want to do for a Christian in his relationship with God? Answer, break their communication bond. If I can get them so busy running here and there and always saying to themselves, well, I'll get this done, I'll get that, and then I'll sit down and pray. It doesn't work that way, brethren. You have to redeem the time. The days are evil. You've got to grab it when you can, and then everything else will take care of itself. Prayer is vital. You've got to talk to God. What about we just had a Day of Atonement? It was an annual fast occasion. How's your fasting record? Have you fasted more this past year or less? What caused you to fast less? More things taking up your time? Satan is a time taker. He takes and robs from it. He's a thief. He takes away our prayer time. He takes away our fasting time. He takes away our study of the Bible time. That's one reason why I have encouraged people, just as a personal side note, that if you have trouble in your daily Bible study, go to the book of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in there. There's roughly 31 days in a given month. And every day read that one chapter. If it's day 7, read chapter 7. Fill your mind with what that says and meditate on it. David meditated on the things of God. Meditation is important because if you're not thinking about it, you don't know what does this mean. Where is it going? What am I supposed to learn? You have to ask these questions. They're vital. Not only then do we understand the importance of studying the Scriptures, but how about observing God's Sabbath and festivals? Do we really keep them in the spirit of holiness and righteousness? Again, Satan will work on us. Sometimes we've done it the way it's supposed to be. Sometimes I'm afraid we're all guilty before God and we've gotten sloppy. And that's why the warning, Ezekiel 20, you better remember your forefathers. They got sloppy with this. They didn't see the importance of my Sabbaths, my holy days, and they began to just forget who I was. It was just kind of like a party time. We're not here to party. We're here to worship the great sovereign Lord who made the heavens and the earth and made us male and female, who gives us every breath we have. And we look forward to what he is going to do for all of us that you and I can't do for ourselves. He's going to bring us salvation through Jesus Christ when he returns, rips the heavens apart, and comes with all the holy angels. And you and I hope and pray we're going to be coming back with him at that time. That's the reality of the Word of God. It's not written just for a nice, pleasant thoughts to make you feel good. The exposure to the mind of God. See, you and I don't think like God thinks. We don't operate like he does. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And notice what he tells us here. Isaiah 55 and in verse 6. It says, seek you the Lord, notice, while he may be found. God is able to be found now, but there's coming a time he's going to pull back. And when he pulls back, people are going to start panicking and wondering, what do I do? What do I do now? They're not going to know. Events are going to happen where people's hearts are going to fail them for fear, wondering, scientists, what's the answer? Oh, they don't have answers. Well, why is it doing this? I don't know. But you and I have been told in advance some spooky times are coming. But you don't have to fear if you're under the umbrella of God and his divine protection. We are called to live by faith, not fear. And the only fear we want to embrace is the fear of our great God, to fear him in the form of worship and to give him glory and honor because, again, you and I would have nothing, absolutely nothing without him. He is the hope of our salvation for moms and dads and brothers and sisters and children who are not in the land of the living anymore. We'll hear more about that at another time. But what a wonderful thing to know that you'll be able to embrace those loved ones once again. Because God hasn't forgotten them. The world has forgotten them, but God has not. And in your mind and your heart, you know how that is an achy hole that only God can fill. He says, let the wicked forsake, notice, his way. Why? Because that way won't cut it. It has to be God's way. Let the unrighteous man, get rid of his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But that takes courage to admit, to get down on your knees and walk humbly with God and learn, God, I've blown it. I've really messed this life up. I like to think I did good. I didn't do good at all. What little bit of good I did only was sometimes for selfish purposes. If any true real good was done, it is only because of you working in and through me that made it possible. So he goes on to say, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. That's why we have to learn about the way of God. It's very important. Many other scriptures emphasize this very thing. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 verse 5 tells us that we are to put something into our mind. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you. In other words, learn how to think like Jesus Christ thought and how it is recorded in the Word of God. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it talks about how he walked with humility. He walked to fulfill the will of God, his Father. By exposure to the Word of God, you and I are building something wonderful. We're strengthening faith in our life and trust, to trust God. And that allows us then to grow. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing. You've got to be exposed to it. And hearing by the Word of God. God has the answers to teach us the way. And I'll just give you these verses. You can check it out yourself. I won't take time to go here, but there are different elements in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18, verse 24 and 26 refers to the way, and the resistance that the early disciples experienced by those who were against the way of God. And it goes on, and it tells us also in Acts chapter 19. Let's go to Acts chapter 19 to see how it is phrased there. Acts chapter 19. And verse 9. It says, but when divers were hardened, it said, and they believed not, but spoke evil of notice that way. There's a lot today that goes on where the Bible is being ridiculed, the laws of God are being ridiculed, evil is being spoken of the way that is revealed in the pages of Scripture. It says, and also in verse 23, at the same time there arose no small stir about the way. You see, the disciples lived the way of God. You and I are encouraged to get back to that faith once delivered in the book of Jude and to contend for that faith because it is so vital for all of us. When we study the scriptures, we find that Jesus taught the way of God. Notice Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And here we find something very interesting because they were trying to set Jesus up. They were trying to get him in a position where they thought they could do him harm. Notice in chapter 22, Matthew, verse 15. It says, then went the Pharisees, the religious opposition leaders of that day, who were not living the way of God, although they talked a good talk, they themselves were not living. That's why Jesus had contention with them. He was always showing them how it should be understood. He came to fulfill, to demonstrate and set the example, not to do away with so that anybody else could just do it the way they wanted. He goes on to say, he says, they came to take counsel. Notice how they might serve him. No. how they might entangle him in his talk. They wanted to trip him up in his words. And so, in verse 16, they sent men out, their disciples, and with the Herodians. Guy comes to Jesus and says, "Master, notice what they said." Now, this is dynamite. They say, "We know." Now, here are individuals plotting to kill the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. And it says, "We know that you are true." Well, then why didn't you listen to him if you knew he was true? And notice you teach the way of God. Please note that. Jesus taught the way of God. You and I are here to learn more of the way of God because we have a date with destiny in which we are going to have to teach the vast majority of people in the future whom God will call in a great harvest calling called the Feast of Ingatherings. And what will we find here? They're going to have to be taught the way of God. And they went on to say, "Now we know you care not for any man." In other words, we know you're not an apple polisher here. You're not trying to, you know, play politics. But, you know, you are what? We know you're true and you teach the way of God. You don't care for men. And you regard us not the persons of men. In other words, we know you're kind of apart from the run of the mill of our day. "Tell us, therefore." We'd like to hear what you have to say on this. "What do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" Jesus pauses for a moment and answers. He said, because he perceived their wickedness, and he says, "Why tempt me, you hypocrites?" He says, "Show me the tribute money." They gave it to him. He said, "Lo and behold, whose inscription is on here?" And they said, "Well, it's Caesar's." Answer, "Then why don't you render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and then render to God what belongs to God," which they knew they were not doing. And when he hit them with that, notice the next verse. "And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him." They said, "Uh-oh, we can't deal with this. This guy is really something else." He sure was. He was the Son of God in the flesh. And so we see there, Jesus taught the way of God. If you go back to Genesis 18 and verse 19, you find another man called the father of the faithful. His name was Abraham. And what did he do? It says he taught the way of God too. And that's why he was highlighted in Scripture for us, because he believed God, he trusted in God, and he practiced the way of God and was teaching his progeny that way. As we come to conclusion, brethren, I'd like to emphasize again that the New Testament Church of God, the Ecclesia, which we are, or the Assembly of God, we're called out once. We've been called out of the world, and many of you came from different locations, from job situations, and you put your faith and trust in God. In some cases, you don't even know what's going to happen when you get back home. But God has promised to watch over us, to watch over our homes, to help us, to be with us. And we need to call upon him in those areas. Because, again, there's coming a day when you and I are going to have to teach the way of God. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. I'm only touching on the highlights of this subject. It's very in-depth. You do a Bible study on it, and it takes you from one place to another. There is so much to learn about the ways of God. And in chapter 30, in verse 20 and 21, it begins, it says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall he give you teachers." Your teachers are not going to be removed anymore. But your eyes are going to see your teachers. Yeah, you have a date with destiny, folks. They're going to look at you one day. What they expect to find from you is the way of God. And it goes on to say, their ears, you'll hear somebody walking behind you saying, "This is the way. just lovingly teaching them, no, sorry, that's not the way. This is the way. Walk you in it. And when you turn to the right and when you turn to the left, you shall defile all the coverings of the graven images and so forth, and other things are mentioned there. In other words, all the things that have been standing in the way between the relationship of mankind and the great Creator God will come into play. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 14. Wherefore he says, what does he say? It's time you and I must be awake, folks. This is not the time to go to sleep. We're living at the most critical time of human history. We're about to see one world give way and a birth of a new world order that is not of God by man's efforts. But then the real new world order in the world to come will come when Jesus Christ comes to establish the kingdom of God, which we're here to celebrate and to rejoice in. And so it says, awake, you that sleep. Remember Matthew 25, the admonition. All the church slumbered and slept, those virgins, those 10 virgins. Some had oil, others were losing their oil. Now's the time, as we say, check your oil. Check your oil. Is it going out? If so, you better find out why it's going out, and you better get back to God and ask for more of His Holy Spirit, which is the symbol of that oil. And then it goes on, it says, awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead. Don't live your life like God doesn't exist. Recognize that Christ shall give you light. He'll help light up your life. He'll show you why you're born, keep you alive and on the cutting edge. And see that, notice verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. In other words, be aware of what's going on around you. Know your relationship with God above. Know your relationship with yourself. Know the world around you. What's going on? Don't wait for the whole mountain to come down on you and say, I need you, God. Now is the time to cry out, I need you now, God. I need you before the real fireworks begin, because fireworks are coming. And he says, redeeming the time, meaning it's being taken away from you. Satan's throwing so many of those tantalizing temptations. Or as one man put it one time in the past, he said, we have entered the high-tech age of sinning. Now you can sin with high-tech, with the click of a mouse. And I think all of you know what I'm talking about, because it's already causing marriages to fall apart, young men to dishonor their relationship in a future marriage with a wife. Women need to walk humbly and not to pattern themselves after the world, because God looks at the heart, not your external part. He's not interested in how you're dressed, whether you've got the right kind of heels and the right kind of look. He wants to see that you look on Him with humility, so that He can bless you and give you long life as a young person. Very important time and age in which we live. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And that word evil comes from the Greek word poneros, and it means hurtful in its effect upon us. Every one of us are constantly being hit day in and day out with temptations and problems, and you and are told to pray what? Lord, lead us not into temptation. Wherever we're weak, wherever we're falling short, please, Lord, don't let me get into a position where I might cave and give in to those temptations. Help me to fight and overcome and be a son and a daughter in whom you are well pleased. Because, dear folks, if we don't have God's endorsement, we don't have anything. If you've got God's endorsement, that's all that matters when it's all said and done. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, there's coming a time when individuals who've been given the knowledge of God's ways, they will not endure the truth, the sound doctrine. But they will, after their own lust, their own desires, shall heap to themselves teachers, They're looking for somebody, the Greek word is pseudodidactyli, meaning pseudo-teachers, self-styled teachers. Man, we've got plenty of them today. All you have to do is get on the internet and you'll get anything and everything thrown at you. If you get on the religious channel sometimes, you'll see every kind of a religion thrown at you from soup to nuts. You may not find the truth unless you're watching Beyond Today. Beyond Today is giving a warning, and many individuals are beginning to see that, and responses are coming in, and that's something we need to pray for. But there's coming a time, it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Well, I'll summarize it this way. One final scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon went through everything. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes, brethren, is a book that was always read during the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a very important time because it went through and showing that everything is just vanity and a striving after wind. God wants us to enjoy life. He doesn't want us, you know, we're not talking asceticism here. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. God is saying, you have access to you've got 6 days of the week to do everything you want. Have you reserved that seventh for me to give honor and glory to me, who gave you those 6 days to do whatever you want to do? Are you here really to worship God, or are you here just to party? These are the things God is watching because he wants to know, do we hunger and thirst for his way? If we don't understand the way of God, how can we teach something we don't understand? If you're going to be a mechanic, you have to learn the trade of the mechanic. A carpenter, an airplane pilot, you've got to study avionics. You've got to learn these things. And if we're not learning the way of God, we're letting somebody else think for us, and we're not asking God to teach us and show us. And the scripture tells us that. It says, you have no need of any teacher. The Spirit of God will teach you. Study the Bible and it'll show you. However, Paul also mentions in the book of Romans, don't draw the wrong conclusion to that statement. He says, for how shall they hear unless there be a preacher? God's ministry serves to serve you and to give sense, not only to read it, but to give sense and show how it relates to you as young and old alike. It applies to all of us because you're going to advance through the cycle of life and you got to know what each cycle is all about. And how do you deal with those cycles with God's hands? Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time and a place for all things. But now in chapter 12, it says in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. When it's all said and done and all the arguments are in, what's the bottom line? Fear God. And keep his commandments. For this is the whole man or woman. Italics, it says duty of. And that is. It's our daily duty to worship and serve God. For God shall bring every work into judgment. This ought to make us stop and take note. Whether it be done in secret, whether it be good, or whether it be evil. May God grant that the blood of Jesus Christ will blot out every evil, rotten thing we have done as human beings that caused him to have to suffer so terribly on Golgotha on our behalf. But we're here to worship that great God who loved us and gave us the understanding. We have not been appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation in Christ Jesus. Have a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles, everyone.